This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right, so continuing on, we were speaking about the category that we're talking about is people of Jannah speaking with the people of Jannah, the people of Hellfire speaking with the people of Hellfire, meaning their conversations amongst each other. And we said earlier about Shaytan and Shaytan's statement to the people of Hellfire, basically washing his hands from them, saying that all I did was just tell you and you followed me, so don't blame me and blame yourselves. And so now we see the conversations amongst the people who followed and the people who were leaders, the leaders who led to hellfire and the followers who followed the leaders to hellfire, they'll both be in hellfire. But yet in the dunya, they had these two different classes. And we said in the Parish Nations lecture, I actually defined it as like Mala and Jamhur, right? Which were the aristocrats of society, and the Jamhur, which are the majority of the people, basically the sheep. Right, and I gave the analogy back then. If you remember from the Parish Nations lecture, I said the grasshoppers and the ants. That there's only a few grasshoppers, but they lead the ants. But there's so many ants, but yet they still follow what the grasshoppers say, and so on and so forth. If you viewed the Parish Nations lecture, you know what I'm talking about, right? So Allah Subhanahu wa Taala describes this conversation in detail between the leaders of Hellfire and the followers who were led to Hellfire. They're both in hellfire, but yet what do they say to each other once they're in hellfire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا فَقَالَ الضُّعَفَاءُ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا لَكُمْ تَبَعًا فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُغْنُونَ عَنَّا مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ قالوا لو هدانا الله لهديناكم سواء علينا أجزعنا أم صبرنا ما لنا من محيص. There's a couple of conversations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, but this is one of them where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. They're all be marshaled together before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the weak will say to those who are arrogant, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines the mala and jamhur, those grasshoppers and ants, as the followers were the weak people. And the leaders were the arrogant, right? So the weak and the arrogant. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines them. The arrogant who arrogantly disobeyed Allah and led people to hellfire, and the weak, foolish people that the messengers kept coming to them again and again and again, yet they kept listening to their leaders. They kept whispering to them to go to hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the weak will say to those who are arrogant, for us, we but followed you, that we followed you, that look, you're our leader, we're in hellfire here together, we followed you. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُغْنُونَ عَنَّا. Can you avail us of anything from the wrath of Allah? Like, can you do anything for us now? Like, you are our leader, you're our chief, you're the head person. Can you avail us of anything of the wrath of Allah now? They reply, if we had received guidance of Allah, we would have given it to you. And then they say, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْنَا. It doesn't matter to us. أَجَزِعْنَا أَمْ صَبَرْنَا مَا لَنَا مِنْ مَحِيصٍ. That whether we start shouting out in rage and we're angry, you know when someone's in jail and they start banging on the walls or something like that, or whether we sit quietly, it doesn't make a difference. We're going to be here. There's no escape from hellfire. There is no other option once it comes to hellfire. سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْنَا أَجَزِعْنَا أَمْ صَبَرْنَا مَا لَنَا مِنْ مَحِيصٍ. And we said about the people of hellfire that they're always seeking and trying to find a loophole. I remember once I gave an exam, and I said this exam was so difficult. I said, in order for it, because it's so difficult, I can't have any loopholes in the end. Meaning that in the end, if someone was to get a retake, or if someone was, somehow, there was some other way that they could make up for not like doing their exam, then it would ruin the whole thing. And so I made a promise to everybody that this is the exam deadline, there's nothing after this. There's no possible way, no extensions, there's nothing. You come 100%, or there's nothing after that. That's the only way. And in hellfire, the people, that's just human nature. They're always trying to find a loophole. They're always trying to live their whole life thinking that in hellfire, some way, somehow, there's going to be a loophole. There's some way that they're going to get out of hellfire. But whether they rage or whether they're patient, there's no escape from hellfire. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَعْشُ عَن ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَنَا قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ بُعْدَ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ فَبِئْسَ الْقَرِينُ وَلَن يَنفَعَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ إِذ ظَلَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ فِي الْعَذَابِ مُشْتَرِكُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these verses, and if anyone withdraws themselves, they turn their backs on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the remembrance of Allah, نُقَيِّدْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا Allah appoints for that person, or someone is appointed, a devil is appointed for that person, and they become an intimate companion to him. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَنَا Until, and that person continues to block the person from the path, and that person thinks that they're guided. If you see a person, the person who's going to hellfire, they are the people who don't fear hellfire. If you tell someone, you know, fear hellfire, they're ha ha ha, they laugh. The people who fear it the least are the ones who need to be fearing it the most. And they think that they're the ones who are on the truth. And they think that they're the ones who are guided. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَنَا Until that they come. So now the appointed person, the person who misguided, and the person who was misguided, they're both in hellfire. The leaders and the followers, the arrogant and the weak, they're both in hellfire. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ بُعْدَ الْمَشْرِقَيْنِ They will say to each other that I wish that between me and you was the difference of east and west. فَبِئْسَ الْقَرِينَ What a most evil companion you were. That in the end, this companionship led them to hellfire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنْ يَنْفَعَكُمُ الْيَوْمِ That there is no mercy and no consolation in hellfire. Actually, Sheikh Ja'far Idris, his son, when I sent out the email saying that I was doing this lecture, he sent me an email back. He was very excited about this lecture. And he gave me some tips. From Saudiya, and he was giving me some tips. And one of the tips, and I'll mention it here, this is his tip. So this one goes out to Yusuf Ja'far Idris. He said that in the Quran, if you were, for example, you're in class, okay? And the teacher said, you have detention. And all your friends are, basically, they're going to paradise, and you have a detention, you'll feel very sad, right? But if the teacher said that the whole class is in detention, you could go home and when your mother says, you know, why were you in detention? You say, the whole class was in detention. Oh, then it's okay. We're all in the same boat. Right? So if you're in hellfire, you're like, oh, or let's suppose a Muslim goes to jail. They're detained. When you go to jail, you find there's many Muslims in jail. And so it's almost like a consolation. You know, all my brothers are here. It's a consolation. It's like a little mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Correct? So now, the people of hellfire, do they have access to this mercy? And the answer is no. Even though they and their companions are in hellfire, it will benefit them nothing. And there's no consolation. In fact, it intensifies their punishment. Because they're so mad at each other, that this person is saying, I have nothing to do with you. And this person is saying, you're the one who misguided me. And he said, I didn't do anything. All I did was just tell you, and you're the one who did it yourself. So don't blame me, blame yourself. So the person who led this person to hellfire, may Allah protect you and protect me, is actually intensifying, and it's an internal punishment. It's a punishment of regret and anger. In another verse, and this inshallah ta'ala is speaking about the people of Jannah. The people of Jannah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ In fact, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he once said to the son of Talha radiallahu anhu. Talha was promised Jannah, and Ali radiallahu anhu was promised Jannah. And so he said to him, because you know there was fights that happened amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and Ali radiallahu anhu would say to his to the son of Talha radiallahu anhu, that I pray that Allah includes me and your father in the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which he says, إِخْوَانًا عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. Brothers facing each other on surur is like, you know, sofas or thrones, mutaqabilin, facing one another. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this. When I was preparing this lecture, to me the feeling is almost like it's a group of people who graduated. The people who passed the exam, and it's almost like this is the after exam party. None of the failures are invited, only the people who passed. And so after passing, after they enter Jannah, alhamdulillah for everything that they passed in Jannah, and now they're in eternity in Jannah, they're saying salam, salam to each other, peace, and then they sit around and then they reminisce. It's like the fond memories, the memories. Remember that time? Remember the time we went for Hajj? Remember the time we were fasting? Remember in Ramadan we were praying Qiyamul Layl? And they go back and forth on these beautiful events that happened, that eventually they were saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of these things. So one of these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. And this verse, this statement, أَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ, it actually comes up more than once in the Qur'an. That they أَقْبَلَ, they go to one another and they start asking questions to one another. So it's like the memories. قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَنِينٌ يَقُولُ أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ. This person says that when they meet each other, one of them says to each other, and he says, you know what? I used to have a qareen. And it's interesting, and actually the sister that shared this ayah with me, she said that notice that in the Qur'an, it doesn't call this person who tried to misguide him, doesn't call him a friend, doesn't call him sadiq or rafiq or sahib, he says qareen. It's almost like the people who misguide, they're qareen. And Allahu A'lam, maybe that's a topic for another lecture, inshallah ta'ala. He said, I used to have a qareen, which could be translated as like a companion or someone that was with me. He said, and he used to say, this qareen, this like friend at school or at work or somewhere in the community or so on, يَقُولُ أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ. He used to say to me, are you going to believe in this message of Islam? إِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ. He said, when we die and we're dust, are we going to be held accountable? Is there going to be a repayment and a judgment? So he's like, I used to have a friend like that, a qareen. So the people of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ هَلْ أَنْتُم مُطَّلِعُونَ فَاطَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ قَالَ تَاللَّهِ إِن كِدْتَ لَتُرْدِينَ وَلَوْلَا نِعْمَةُ رَبِّي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُحْضَنِينَ. So they're in Jannah, and in Jannah you can have everything. So they said, why don't we check out on this guy? Where is he now? Where are they now? Someone, they were saying like, you know when you go to a class, high school reunion, it's 30 years later, something like that, where is this friend from school, this person who used to always, you know, this person who's arrogant, or this person who used to study, or this person who said they would make $1 million, or this person who used to do this, or this person, what happened to them? So in Jannah, they say, قَالَ هَلْ أَنْتُم مُطَّلِعُونَ. They say, let's go and look where he is. فَاطَّلَعَ. So they go and look. فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. So this person, he said, I used to have this qareen, this friend, and he used to tell me, don't believe in this message, and so on. And so they look in hellfire, and then he finds him right in the middle of hellfire. That's him. قَالَ تَاللَّهِ إِن كِدْتَ لَتُرْدِينَ. He said, and then he says, by Allah, you almost ruined me. He's like angry. He's like, you're the person who almost got me into the same position. You almost ruined me. Had it not been for the grace of my Lord, نِعْمَةُ رَبِّي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُحْضَرِينَ, that I would have been one of those who was brought forth to hellfire. And so even this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person who used to say these things in the dunya, they'll be in hellfire. And the Ahlul Jannah, they will see these people, this is the person who tried to misguide me, alhamdulillah, I never believed you. Alhamdulillah, Allah guided me and I never listened to you people. SubhanAllah, when I was in high school, it wasn't too long ago, and here in Canada, feminism was really big. You know, it was like the start of the movement kind of thing. And it was getting really, really big, and everybody was talking about feminism. Is it still big now? Yeah, it's still big. I don't think it's as big as when I was in high school, but it was really big back then. And there was this woman, I would say like she's the ultimate, like, you know, misguided. Saying all these statements of kufr and so on and so forth. And people started listening to her. She'd write books, come on TV and talk. And I thought to myself, one day I was going through a bookstore and I wanted to purchase her books because she's like a loudspeaker, kind of like really makes you want to listen. And I thought to myself, okay, on the day of judgment, if I listen to her and follow her, is she going to avail me anything on the day of judgment? Can she protect me from the angels of hellfire? When the wall is divided between the believers and the disbelievers, do I want to be with her? I thought to myself, A'udhu Billah. Like, stay as far away from me as you possibly can, you and your beliefs. Keep them away. I want to be with Ummahat al-Mu'mineen. I want to be with all the believing women. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about all the women that came. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them. Those are the people that you want to be with. قَالَتَ اللَّهِ إِن كِتَّ لَتُرْدِينَ, by Allah, you almost ruined me. If it wasn't for the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah that I didn't listen to you. And so that's the statement that you want to look at. Every time you listen to someone, always ask yourself, are you willing to be with them on the day of judgment? Whoever you listen to, are you willing to be with them on the day of judgment? In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and actually I mentioned this about, you know, paradise. There is no paradise on earth because of certain things. One of them, we said, for example, in that hadith that we mentioned, here on earth you can get sick. So you can be in Hawaii or Keynes, Australia or something like that, and you get sick, it's not paradise on earth. Right? Secondly, you're going to get old one day. So immortality. And once you get old, it's not paradise on earth. Thirdly, you're going to, while you're there, you're going to get bored after a certain time. So it's not paradise on earth. It doesn't last forever. So subhanAllah, one of the things that messes up paradise on earth is if you go to paradise on earth with a woman or a husband that you're planning to divorce. Okay? So you're in this amazing resort and you're always fighting. You know, everything's beautiful and nice, but you're like 2 days away from a divorce. It's like someone's talking sinful and hate talk and all of this stuff. You can't enjoy yourself. So what if a person, yes, they're in Jannah and they're living forever and so on and so forth, but then there's a person in Jannah that's always talking foolishness. They're like talking like just wasteful talk. You're like, I don't want to be with that person. You know how it is in the dunya, you're trying to avoid certain people because they're just always yapping. Just they can't, there's no, the run-on sentence that goes on for 2 hours. Like me, I keep talking in this halakha, right? Never give you a chance to ask questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Jannah, لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا تَأْثِيمًا إِلَّا قِيلًا سَلَامًا سَلَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا, you'll never hear it. It's not that nobody's saying it, but you'll never hear it in Jannah. لَغْوًا وَلَا تَأْثِيمًا, you'll never hear vanity. And you will never hear sinful speech. Illa qilan salaman salama. That salam, that peace, that you're in peace and everything is peaceful, and all the speech will just be peaceful speaking. And subhanAllah, you might have just a tiny glimpse of that here in the dunya, where there's certain people you speak with and it's so sweet to speak with them, correct? You don't even want the conversation to end. It's so beautiful to speak with them. You keep speaking and speaking and speaking. SubhanAllah. إِلَّا قِيلًا سَلَامًا سَلَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I'll just give you these verses one after the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greets them with salam. In the Quran, salam qawlam min rabbir rahim. It's in Surah Yasin, salam qawlam min rabbir rahim. That peace, that statement of peace, a statement qawlam min rabbir rahim, from a Lord that is merciful and gives that mercy. قَوْلًا مِنْ رَبِّ الرَّحِيمِ. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we mentioned this, that the angels, when they're guiding them to Jannah, they say to them, سَلَامُ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا صَبَرْتُمْ فَنِعْمَ عُقُبَ الدَّارِ. They say, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, peace be upon you because you were patient. فَنِعْمَ عُقُبَ الدَّارِ. And so what an amazing and most blessed final abode this is. And the gatekeepers of Jannah, when they come to Jannah, and those who are, you know, they're there in Jannah, they say, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ طِبْتُمْ فَدُخُلُوهَا خَانِدِينَ. They say to them, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ, peace be upon you, طِبْتُمْ, you've been purified, فَدُخُلُوهَا خَالِدِينَ. So enter it, enter into it for all eternity. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the people of hellfire. And now these verses are a little bit more detailed. And you look at like kind of like the intellectual discourse between those leaders, the arrogant ones, and the followers who are the weak ones. And how both of them are in hellfire, and yet each one is trying to put the blame on the other. Obviously, they're both in hellfire, and it doesn't matter who is to blame. In the end, they're both in hellfire. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ مَوْقُوفُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يَرْجِعُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ الْقَوْلِ يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if you could see when the zalimun, when they'll be gathered together to their Lord, يَرْجِعُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ الْقَوْلِ. You know, when people are arguing, nobody wants to listen to each other. They go back and forth. The person's like, no, it's your fault, this, and they're saying, no, it's your fault. And so their statements, the first, the followers, say to the arrogant leaders, they say, لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ. If it wasn't for you, we would have been believers. If it wasn't for you, so they're saying that, okay, the leaders, it's all their fault. Don't we always say that? It's like the leaders. It's always the leaders' fault. This is usually the sign of the weak followers. They're always blaming the leaders. Every lecture you hear is like, our leaders, our followers, our leaders. Okay, weak follower. Thank you very much for that speech. If it wasn't for them, we would have been guided. Right? So this is what they say to them in hellfire. If it wasn't for you, we would have been guided. لَوْلَا أَنْتُمْ لَكُنَّا مُؤْمِنِينَ. And the leaders, they're actually kind of intellectual. قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا. As we said, they're smart and they're in hellfire. Smart in a dunya sense, but not smart enough to enter Jannah. قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْنَاكُمْ عَنِ الْهُدَىٰ أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْنَاكُمْ عَنِ الْهُدَىٰ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَكُمْ بَلْ كُنْتُمْ مُجْرِمِينَ. قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا. Those who were arrogant, and as you said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them the arrogant leaders. أَنَحْنُ صَدَدْنَاكُمْ عَنِ الْهُدَىٰ. They're saying to the weak followers now, did we actually block you from the guidance? بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَكُمْ, when it came to you. Did we actually block, like physically, did we stop you from following this message? بَلْ كُنْتُمْ مُجْرِمِينَ. Rather, you're the criminals. Because when you actually look at it, these, we were talking about these grasshoppers or these aristocrats, do they actually have power? And the answer is no, they don't. Their power is nothing more than marketing, it's just a message. What they have is maybe television advertisements. What they might have is some academic, quote-unquote academic research that says that there's no God. They have, you know, the scientists or the politicians or the media, have they actually physically stopped someone from following the message? The answer is no, they haven't. They haven't. Even here in Canada, for example, you'll see so many times, is there anybody stopping the Muslims from coming and praying in the masjid? Nope. Are they praying in the masjid? Not necessarily. They can't blame the leaders, oh, it was because of you, we would have been believers. No, is anybody stopping you? Did anybody say you can't pray? Nobody said that. Nobody's stopping it. There's just these statements running around, but it's more like marketing. But when it really comes down to it, nothing was stopping the person. So now listen to the weak followers. They make an interesting rebuttal. They say,
وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا بَلْ مَكْرُ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ إِذْ تَأْمُرُونَنَا أَن نَكْفُرَ بِاللَّهِ وَنَجْعَلَ لَهُ أَنْدَادًا
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their response to them, بَلْ مَكْرُ اللَّيْلِ So these are the weak followers saying back to these aristocrat, arrogant leaders. They're saying, بَلْ مَكْرُ اللَّيْلِ That you plotted against us day and night. إِذْ تَأْمُرُونَنَا أَن نَكْفُرَ بِاللَّهِ You plotted against us and you kept sending us messages day and night, day and night, day and night to disbelieve in God. To misguide us from the path. And نَكْفُرَ بِاللَّهِ وَنَجْعَلَ لَهُ أَنْدَادًا And that we would associate partners with Allah. And that association of partners, let's say for example in a country like this, in the mass scale, nobody's actually, it's almost like subhanAllah, when you want to go public, if someone has like for example a religious product, a service, and they want to make it public, they have to take God out of the equation. They'll say, whatever you believe in. Correct? Every time something goes public, it's like, whatever you believe in, Mother Nature, or yourself, or a higher being, or the universe, you know, you just got to believe in this. And then they start, in order to take it out, the community insists that God must be taken out of the equation, or else you'll offend people. You'll offend them. You don't want to offend them. They'll immediately lower you down. Your service or your product won't go forward in the community. If you dare quote Allah, if you dare mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get sent to the religious section in the bookstore. You don't get sent into the personal development section. You go into the religious section. Your shows go on to the religious channels. They don't go on the mainstream. And so day and night, the commandment is that there's no God. There's no God. That's what's going out. And yet the people, were they forced? No, they weren't forced. It was just messages. It was just whispers. And did the messengers come to them? أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ And they said yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, we mentioned this verse, Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُجَاءُ بِالرَّجُلِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَيُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ A man will be brought on the day of resurrection and will be thrown into hellfire. He'll be thrown into hellfire and until he'll be punished in the hellfire until his intestines are like they've ripped open and this person's in the hellfire. And so he'll run around in hellfire almost like on a treadmill. There's nowhere to go, but he'll run around in hellfire like a mad donkey. And so the people of hellfire will start surrounding this person. Right? And they're all in the punishment. And so they'll say to him, Ya fulan, ma asabak. They'll say, oh, so-and-so, what happened to you? They'll actually recognize this person as the person who used to tell them to do good things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And the person who used to tell them, don't do bad things. Yet they went to hellfire. And this is the same person. They're like, I remember you. Weren't you the person so-and-so that used to tell us to do good things? Aren't you the person who used to tell us, don't drink alcohol, don't do this, don't do that? And so the person responds and he says, بَلَا قَدْ كُنْتُ أَمُرُكُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَا آتِي وَأَنْهَاكُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَآتِي He said, indeed, I used to tell you, I used to command you to do the good things, but I never used to do those good things. And I used to forbid you, and I tried to stop you from doing the bad things, But I myself never stop myself from doing those wrong things. And this person will be in hellfire just like them. Musa ibn Sa'ad, rahimahullah, and this is something that you see from our righteous forefathers, that when they would mention paradise and hellfire, it's as if they put themselves into that position. And we said that at the beginning, Aisha radiallahu anha, she's reciting these verses, reading it from the first person as if she was there in the hereafter. She puts herself in Jannah, reciting these words, and she would recite in the dunya like this. Musa ibn Sa'ad says, كُنَّ إِذَا جَلَسْنَا إِلَى سُفْيَانَ الثَّوْرِ كَأَنَّ النَّارُ قَدْ أَحَاطَتْ بِنَا لِمَا نَرَى مِنْ خَوْفِهِ وَجَزْعِهِ. He said, whenever we would sit with Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, it was as if that hellfire had surrounded us. It was as if we were there in hellfire because of how much he was afraid of hellfire. And how much he feared hellfire, that his fear would rub off on us when we were in the jalsa and the halaqa of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. The next category that we're speaking about is the people of Jannah speaking with the people of hellfire, and the people of hellfire speaking with the people of Jannah. And there is a long detailed discourse. This is in Surah Al-A'raf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ أَنْ قَدْ وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدَنَا رَبُّنَا حَقًّا فَهَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقًّا قَالُوا نَعَمْ فَأَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ بَيْنَهُمْ أَلْعَنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَادَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, that the people of Jannah call out to the people of hellfire, أَنْ قَدْ وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدَنَا رَبُّنَا حَقًّا, that whatever Allah told us and promised us, we found it to be the truth. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we found it to be the truth. فَهَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقًّا, because they're not in hellfire, they're asking the people of hellfire, have you found what Allah promised you to be the truth? قَالُوا نَعَمْ, they said yes. Everything that Allah mentioned to us, everything that the warners had said, they found it to be the truth. Is it the truth? صَدَقَ اللَّهُ, Allah has told the truth. فَأَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ بَيْنَهُمْ, and a caller will call amongst them, أَلَّعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ, that the curse of Allah is upon the transgressors. In another verse, there's some verses that continue about the people of the A'raf, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ أَفِيضُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاهُمْ كَمَا نَسُوا لِقَاءَ يَوْمِهِمْ هَذَا وَمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَادَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ, so the people of hellfire, they call out to the people of Jannah. أَنْ أَفِيضُ عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ, they say to them, pour some water for us. Like, hook us up with something. Get us something. So remember we said the people of hellfire, they're looking for any way out. Or they're looking for anything. They try calling to the gatekeepers of hellfire. They tried calling to Allah. They're cursing each other. And now they're calling the people of Jannah. أَفِيضُ عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ, and this, أَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ. And it's interesting. It's like, whatever. They say, whatever. Whatever Allah provided you with, just give us anything. You know, it's like sometimes you tell a person, what would you like? They're like, whatever. They don't care. Whatever. Just give us something. And أَفِيضُ عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ يَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ, just this drink of water. Just a drink of water. The Prophet ﷺ said that this dunya, people disobey Allah and they worship idols and they worship themselves and they worship all of these things, yet at the end of the day they still get to drink water. And they still get to go to sleep and they still have shelter and they're still able to excrete that through their sweat and they're able to go to the bathroom. All the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their tongue, their eyes, everything, they still get that even though they spent the whole day disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's because this is the dunya and it means nothing. The Prophet ﷺ said that if the dunya meant even the wing of a fly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no disbeliever would ever get a drink of water. Not even a drink of water. And so they're now in hellfire saying, just give us a drink of water or anything, whatever. And the people of Jannah respond back saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, that Allah has made it haram, it's forbidden for the disbelievers. There's no water. SubhanAllah, I always think in Hajj time, people get very tired. Very tired. How long can you go being tired for? Like in Hajj time, you might go like 24 hours, you haven't slept. We haven't slept for 24 hours. We haven't slept for 48 hours. Okay, if you hit about like, what's after 48 hours? You're like 72. You would probably be dead at that point. You can't go only till a certain point. But in the end, you're still hoping for a hotel. In the end, you're still hoping for an air-conditioned bus, a soft plush chair to sit on, a glass of water, a meal. You're waiting for it. There's an expectancy. Now, in hellfire, there's nothing coming. We haven't slept for how long? We haven't eaten for how long? How long has the punishment been going on for? We've lost count. Because it's going on for eternity. And it keeps going on and on and on. There is no rest. If you can just understand, like when you think about any time you feel like you don't feel like obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and something in command, just imagine there's no rest in the hereafter. There is no rest. And it's not that you're just sitting there waiting at a bus stop or something like that. There's no rest to the punishment. There's no rest to the punishment. إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Who are the disbelievers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا. Those who took their religion, this is what they considered religion, right? All they did in their lives was لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا, was amusement and distraction. لَهُ. You know, they call it entertainment. It's interesting, in Saudi Arabia, one time, there was a building, and it was called Baytut Tarfih, right? We would translate that. The person who translated that did not know English. You know how they get sometimes, they get it from some other country, a guy whose English is his seventh language and stuff like that, and he does the translation. So the proper translation for this store, or this place, it's a place that has games, right? Arcade games and, you know, basketball, all that stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Chuck E. Cheese, that's what I'm talking about. This is Chuck E. Cheese in Mecca. It's called Baytut Tarfih. The guy translated it as distraction house. And I said, SubhanAllah, he got the exact, he perfectly translated it. It was perfect. You know, normally they don't translate properly. That was the exact translation. Distraction house. Their whole life, all the religion is about, is just about distraction. It's about, or what we call, we obviously shaitan plays games with us. So it's not called distraction. Nobody will say, like, watch the latest distraction. No, they say, watch the latest movie. Or they don't say, you know, like, prime distraction. They say prime entertainment. Correct? It's a changing of words. الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا. جَنَّةُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ, the highest level of Jannah, is not for people who live in distraction. It's not. That's not the characteristic of people who go to Jannah al-Firdaws. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. They turn away from vanity. It's not one of their characteristics, the people of go to Jannat al-Firdaus, the highest level of Jannah. So let me give you this example. When I think of distractions, I think of chatting online. A lot of times, like people, maybe they're not watching TV, but they've just replaced the television set with another distraction. And their life becomes a distraction. SubhanAllah, like all these emails, you look at your Gmail or something, you never delete your emails, you're like 7,000 emails. And that's like, since you opened your Gmail account, was just like last year. And you've gone on and on, archives and archives of your talk. My talk, I'm not saying I'm excluded from this, it's just talk. It's just distraction. And so every day that you have, you ask yourself, even if you're going to distract yourself, know that it's a distraction and it's only a small portion. So you'd say, for example, I've been good today, I did this, this and that, now I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to chill for half an hour. I'm just going to chill for this hour. This is my time to relax. And then it's back up again. In fact, when you see Qiyam al-Layl, a person will say, do I have to sleep before getting up for Qiyam? It's an interesting question. People always ask that even your sleep is ibadah because you're like, I'm going to go to sleep, I'm going to chill for an hour, 2 hours before I get up for Qiyam, before I get up for the night prayer, right? And so even that distraction you're building up that energy. Obviously nothing haram in that distraction. But it's there, that small portion of the dunya, so that you would have extra strength for the hereafter. All right, on TV, if you're awake late at night, when you should be praying Qiyam al-Layl, they have TV shows that are like the highest rated, like Jay Leno, right? Jay Leno is on at that time. Who else is on at that time? What's that? David Letterman, yeah, he's been going on for a couple of years, Distraction Club, right? And Jay Leno and so on and so forth. And then they're like, tonight we have a special guest, you know, so-and-so is coming directly from hellfire. We get to interview him. How many people would like to watch that interview? That would be an amazing interview. Right, it's way more interesting than the latest movie celebrity telling us about how, you know, the upcoming movie and how, you know, it was really difficult filming the movie and stuff. Who cares? You actually waste you exhaust your life finding out about things like that. Even at the end of it, yeah, why do you always forget everything that's going on in TV so quickly? Because it means nothing. It's like it's nothingness, right? It's like they say empty calories. It's just nothingness. It's just distraction. That's it. It's just a distraction. But now we're going to listen to a really amazing interview. Because we have tonight, someone from Hellfire is coming, and he's going to tell us, how'd you get there? Because we definitely don't want it. Now, the interesting thing about a person from Hellfire is, from his smell, everybody on earth would die from his smell. Seeing him, everybody would die. Everything related to him, you would die. But let's just imagine that we're protected and we're able to listen to him. So the question is asked, so what did you do to get into hellfire? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Muddathir, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَنِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. Because we do have this interview, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded it for us in the Qur'an, that they will question the criminals, what got you into hellfire? What made you arrive into hellfire? So this is the response.
قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ حَتَّى أَتَانَا الْيَقِينِ.
They say, number one reason, they're like, and you imagine they're like, I want everybody to know this. They're saying that the number one reason that they're in hellfire is they never used to do their salah. لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We weren't amongst those who used to pray. We didn't do our salah. Now, subhanAllah, when someone wants to become Muslim, someone who's really amazing giving da'wah is Sheikh Yusuf Estes. Hafidhahullah. Amazing. And I watched him one day, this, you know, brother came, you know, he's just walking around, and Sheikh Yusuf basically, this is like summed it up for him. Do you have a problem believing in Allah? No, no problem. Who? Everybody's like, it's ingrained. Do you believe Muhammad is the messenger of Allah? Person's like, yeah, I believe that. Do you have a problem praying to God? No, I have no problem. Okay, great, you're Muslim. Repeat after me. Ashhadu, ashhadu, and the shahada. And the guy's like, oh, I guess I'm becoming Muslim now. Right? Because it's a simplification. Because when it comes down to it, your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you pray to Him. Now, a Muslim, sometimes they get confused. They're like, they don't pray, and they're like, Allah's going to forgive us one day. Now, that's really dangerous. Because actually, the next verses that I'm going to talk about are verses that speak about the munafiqeen. And that's one of the key beliefs of the hypocrites, is that they plant seeds of hellfire thinking that one day God's going to forgive us. But their whole life they planted seeds of hellfire. And so when the seeds come out, did anybody tell you that you have to pray? No, they did. أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ Didn't somebody warn you? Yeah, they told us. So, number one thing is, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنْ مُصَلِّينَ If you're not praying your five prayers, your fard, that's, and you'll hear me repeat it again and again. Islam is not difficult. You just go to the five pillars of Islam, and that's Islam. That will bring you to Jannah. And that is belief in Allah, belief in the Messenger of Allah, your salah, to pray your five prayers, your fard, right? Fajr, Dhuha, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. To give your zakat, right? The 2.5% on the money you're earning at the end of the year. It's a lot cheaper than the taxes you're paying. So like 55%, right? 2.5% to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the masakeen. Your zakat, your siyam, your fasting in Ramadan. And many people, alhamdulillah, normally even if they're not practicing Islam, they're still fasting in Ramadan. Siyam and hajj, to do hajj sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the basis of your life, and you'll be saved. And it's very easy. So the number one reason that they got to hellfire, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ But number two is interesting as well. وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ And we never used to feed the needy people. So if this is a characteristic of the highest characteristics of the people that went to hellfire, ask yourself, when was the last time you fed a needy person? I can even say, when was the last time you donated anything? And I'm saying that that's just our culture. We don't donate. Yeah, the masjid sometimes, someone will say, brothers, sisters, please donate to the masjid, right? We donate to the building. When was the last time you donated anything? Right? If you put a coin in the box, you would hear it clang at the bottom. Correct? Do you agree? Someone try it out after. There's nothing in the box. Correct? Do you agree with me? Now, if the people of hellfire said, we were never amongst those who used to feed the needy people. It wasn't our characteristic. This is what a characteristic of the people of hellfire. And so what you need to do, and now the masakeen, the needy people, are we talking about Muslim needy people? Of course, they're included, but needy people is anybody needy. Is anybody needy? When you see people downtown asking for money, immediately everybody thinks they're going to use it on drugs, right? They're going to use it to buy drugs. Allah, I'm not going to give them. Okay, you didn't give them. Who did you give then? I'm going to give it to the Muslims. Okay, great. When did you give it to the Muslims? Never. It's just you didn't give that guy and you didn't give anybody. And so you don't know this guy, even though maybe he does have drugs or something like that, do you think he needs to eat? And if he buys with drugs, he just buys drugs with his money, he's not going to eat. So eating, if you didn't know, was one of his needs. So now this person, subhanAllah, I was once, and I'm not saying like I run around downtown all the time giving people, it's a reminder for myself, reminder for you. I was once downtown one place, I said, you know what, I'm going to give these needy people. They were actually sleeping outside, this was in Boston once. They were sleeping outside, I've seen people sleep on the street like that in Hajj time. But these people have a home just in Hajj, they're just sleeping on the street. I've seen that before, in downtown Boston. You'll see people sleeping in the street, they have no home. They're on the street. And so I said, you know what, I'm not going to give them money, I'm going to go in, I'm going to buy some food for them. And I went in and there was people asking for money outside the door. But I said, you know what, I'm going to buy them food and just give them the food. So I bought all these sandwiches and so on and so forth. And then I came outside and I saw them counting their money. The guys were sitting there, here's 10 cents, here's 25 cents, here's the money that you donated. And I gave them the sandwich. And they're like, thanks man, we were just putting our money together to see if we could buy one. And then I went to the people, some of them slept, and I'm sure that they slept without eating. And I put the sandwiches, by their beds. Somewhere that no one would steal it from them, but somewhere if they woke up, they would find the sandwich there. It is the characteristic of the people of Hellfire that they do not feed the needy people. And so again, understanding that, you now know what the characteristic of the people of Jannah are. They feed the needy people. And so if I can advise you this, there's Islamic Relief has a beautiful, you can type in like Islamic Relief and they have an orphan sponsorship program. And inshallah ta'ala, this is my sadaqah telling you about this great service. They have an orphan sponsorship program. You pick the country, you can even pick the orphan that you want to sponsor. And it tells you that every month you'll be paying like $33 a month. Or in certain countries it's more expensive. You pay every month and automatically you can either pay for the whole year or you can, they'll bill your credit card or your payment online each month. So that each month you'll donate, even when you forget to donate, you've automated your donations. So you'll be sitting there checking your email, distraction, 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 and you say your payment has been received to orphan so and 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 so. You can sponsor as many orphans as you can, inshallah ta'ala. And then you say, alhamdulillah, and that this characteristic won't apply to you. لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينَ. They used to just, khawd is just, they just dwell into matters. It's like their disbelief and their philosophy and all of this stuff. They just, all this disbelief, they just kept going on and on and on about it. It's actually interesting, subhanAllah, there's a statement. They said, in recorded history, there has never been known to be a happy philosopher. They're all depression. They're all depressed. All the philosophers, they're all depressed. Right? They're just talking and talking and talking. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Nukadhib means, basically, we used to disbelieve. Even in the English language, I don't like saying that disbelieve. You don't understand what disbelieve means. Rather, every time someone told them that there's a hereafter, they say, you're lying. You're lying. It's not true. There's a hereafter. No, you're lying. It's not true. They just kept doing takvib. They would say, it's not true, we don't believe in you, this is not true, and they'd keep going on and on like that. And the last verses that we'll be going through tonight, inshallah ta'ala, because when we're speaking about Jannah and we're speaking about hellfire, you might mistakenly think that there are only two groups, but there are actually three groups. Where did the third group go? Hellfire too. They're in hellfire too. So it's Jannah has one group of people, those are the believers, and hellfire has two groups of people. Those are the kuffar and the munafiqeen. The munafiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. That the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, those who outwardly said that they were Muslims or believers, but inwardly they weren't believers. And now this is where the really scary thing comes up. And subhanAllah, the reason that they got into hellfire, I went through the list. I have this list. It's four things. And I tried thinking about it, like applying it to like general Muslim community. And the scary thing is, it almost all applies. So pay attention. Pay attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Quran. يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَسْعَى نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ بُشْرَاكُمُ الْيَوْمَ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the believers, believing men and women, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, on the day when you'll see the believing men and women, نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى, they have light. It's like يَسْعَى, it's like بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ, it's like it's coming from everywhere. the believers are full of light. And it actually is interesting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a hadith in which he said, "Bashir al-mashayin fi al-dhulam ila al-masajid bi-nur al-tam yawm al-qiyamah." He says, "Give glad tidings, like good news, for those who walk in the darknesses to the masjids, that they will have complete light on the day of resurrection." And so giving good news is not on the day of judgment you give good news. Of course, that's the good news, but it's give good news to the people in the dunya. So it's like every time you come for Isha, every time you come for Fajr, if you look outside right now, it's really dark outside. So good news for all of you, inshallah ta'ala. You came here in the darkness of the night to pray in the masjid, to be reminded of Allah. So I give you good news, inshallah ta'ala, that you'll have complete light on the day of resurrection. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the believing men and women. And again, this applies to men and women. The nur is coming from all directions and so on. جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is the ultimate. There is no success other than this success. الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا انظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day when the munafiqun wal-munafiqat, the hypocrite men and the hypocrite women, right? So this applies, just like paradise applies to men and women, hellfire applies to men and women. منافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا. These are the hypocrites. In the dunya, the hypocrites were standing side by side with the believers. Right? So in the dunya, they were together, but now in the hereafter, they're going to be separated, right? So they're saying to them, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُنظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ. The hypocrites have no light on the day of resurrection. And the believers have this glowing light. But the angels of paradise start taking away the believers. And the hypocrites are being left behind. You know, subhanAllah, it's interesting. I kept thinking, you know, if you ever travel and, you know, you're waiting for your visa to go through, or maybe you're sitting in a lobby waiting and, you know, someone calls you, you get to go through and your friend says, "Wait for me," and you're like, "Forget you, man, I'm going." Right? I'm not going to wait here in this punishment. And what about the friend's like, "Well, you know what, if I was in your situation, if I got to go through first, I would have waited for you." Something like that, right? The munafiqun are held back. And the believers get to go forward to Jannah. So they say to the believers, the munafiqun say to the believers, "Unzuruna naqtabis min nurikum." They're like, "If you go, we have no light. With you goes all the light. And we're in darkness." And the verse "unzuruna," there's a difference of opinion amongst the mufassirin, but they say that it means actually "intadhiruna," wait for us. Wait till our affair has finished. We're not done yet. Wait for us to complete, and then we can go together to Jannah. "Unzuruna naqtabis min nurikum," and then it will be say "qila arji'u wara'akum." It said to them, "Get away." They're not part of this delegation in their entourage. They're saying, "Wait for us, don't go yet. We're not done yet. We won't have any light if you go." So it will be said to them, "Irji'u wara'akum faltamisu nura." "Irji'u wara'akum faltamisu nura." It said to them, go back, go away, and go and get light of your own. And now, again, the mufassirin, they're talking about this. It's almost like sarcasm. It's like saying to them, if you can, go back to the dunya and go and get light from its source, which is iman in Allah and His Messenger, and the salah, and the fasting, and the siyah, and zakah, and so on. That's the source of light in this dunya when you are alive. But it's sarcasm because they have no access to that anymore. And you have that opportunity now. You have access to the light. قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. Go and get your own light. فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٍ بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةِ وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابِ. And then at that point, a wall is erected between the believers, that entourage that's going to Jannah, and those who are going to hellfire, a wall goes up. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to read this verse and cry, saying that when that wall goes up, I don't know which side of the wall I'll be on. And so now you imagine, when that wall goes up, what side of the wall are you going to be on? What side am I going to be on? If that wall goes up, and you're on the side of mercy, the side that's leading to Jannah, then how thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are you going to be? And if you're on the side where you're on the other side, where it's the punishment and leading to hellfire, there's no happiness forever and ever and ever and ever. And so as the wall goes up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the munafiqeen say to them, yunadunahum. So the wall's going up, and they're saying to them, alam nakum ma'akum? Weren't we with you? Didn't we stand beside you in prayer? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? Weren't we with you in the dunya? And the believers will say to them, qalu bala. You were with us. And now here's the reason that the wall goes up and they're on the other side. Qalu bala. Walakinnakum. They said, yes, you were with us in body. You're with us. But now here are the four things. This is why when the wall goes up, you'll be on the other side. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَارْتَبْتُمْ وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And so they say the four things. Number one, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. You did a fitna to yourselves. You basically put yourself into trial. What that means is, like someone, for example, and I'll just give you some examples. Someone, they don't have to deal in riba, but they say, no, I want to get interest payments. I want to make more money. So they put themselves into fitna. Someone else will say, you know, I just want to look at these pornography websites. And I just want to commit these harams. And nobody can see me, but I just want to drink alcohol. And so they did fitna to themselves. Right? They put themselves through these trials. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Now, all human beings make mistakes and all human beings sin. So these people put a fitna through themselves. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ. It's interesting that the next reason that they're in, that the wall goes up and they're in hellfire, even though they were the believers, تَرَبَّصْتُمْ is, and you delayed. Everybody makes sins and everybody commits mistakes. But yet the munafiqeen, their characteristics is they delay tawbah. They delay repentance to Allah. What does it mean to delay repentance to Allah? Because someone will be like, if you commit a sin, you, inshallah ta'ala, you're not like that. If you sin, you're like astaghfirullah and you repent. But here are some things that you might find in the community. Someone will say, you know what, I'm in university right now and I have to get good marks, so I'll fast in Ramadan after I graduate from school. After residency and after this and after that. After 12 years later, I'll repent to Allah. Or someone, even let me bring it on a smaller scale, they'll say, I'm busy at work. I'll pray my prayers later. I'll pray them at some later time. I'll try to like put them together at some later time. They'll call it qaza. Is that what they call it? Obviously, that doesn't count. Other people say, let's wait till we get married, and then we'll do tawbah. So yes, sister, you don't wear hijab, don't worry about it. Wait till you get married, you can repent later. That doesn't count. Repentance is immediate. Other people, they might commit zina. They'll be like, they'll commit zina and they'll fornicate. And they'll say, I'll be chaste once I get married. And they delay their tawbah. Other people will say that, you know, I'm involved in a riba mortgage. And I know it's haram and stuff. And I'm going to go for hajj after I pay off my house. And then I'll repent to God. And other people wait for hajj. They'll say, when I go for hajj, I'll repent. And dear brothers and sisters, you never know if you'll live till tomorrow. You never know if you'll live even for Isha prayer tonight. And you never know if you'll be there at Fajr time. And so when do you do tawbah? You do tawbah immediately. Every time you remember to do tawbah, you say astaghfirullah. I ask your forgiveness and your protection, O Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said to repent to Allah and ask for His forgiveness. For verily, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that I repent to Allah in a day more than 70 times. And so it's like every 10, the Prophet ﷺ is doing istighfar. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is saying, we're sitting with the Prophet ﷺ, and while he's speaking, he's doing istighfar. And he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And he's the messenger of Allah. So we see from the characteristics of the people of Jannah is they hasten their asking of forgiveness. And so if a person commits a sin, they might say, well, I don't know if I can get out of the sin or not. Still repent to Allah. Still repent to Allah. Every time you commit the sin, repent to Allah. Even the... I'm trying to give an example of these things. A person saying, you know, every salah person misses, do complete istighfar. Even if you're going to miss the next prayer, still do istighfar. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Because eventually, the hypocrisy is going to pull you in one direction. Either you're going to stop asking for forgiveness at some point, or you're going to actually listen to what you're saying. And you're going to desist from committing that sin. So the fitna, they did a fitna to themselves. They delayed the tawbah. Number three is they doubted the messengers. They doubted the messenger. I'm not sure if this is the true or not. I'm not really sure yet. And there's one issue, and that's usually the issue of hijab. And I'm not like kind of like knocking on the sisters who don't wear hijab. In fact, I'm so happy that a sister would be hearing the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And usually this is being recorded, and so this is intimate. It's between me and the person I'm speaking to. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody or so on, but usually my sister in Islam, when she says why she doesn't wear hijab, she'll say, I'm not sure. And that's one of the characteristics of hypocrisy. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when that wall goes up, وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَرْتَبْتُمْ, they delayed tawbah, and they doubted the messengers. And so it is never going to be for the success of the person to doubt the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Instead, if a person's committing a sin, what they should do, this is the safe thing, is if they're committing a sin, don't justify it. Don't try to go from sheikh to sheikh, trying to find some sheikh that says it's okay. Accept full force that it's haram. Accept full responsibility. Don't blame anybody. Don't blame, oh, my parents didn't teach me or something. Don't blame anybody. And do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you continue in the sin. So if a person's going to a pornography website, on their tongue, they should be saying, astaghfirullah, 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 with every picture that they see. Astaghfirullah. That's an intense moment. If you're disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing istighfar at the same time, you're being pulled in different directions. And if you say, this is the good news, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, Allah will save you and protect you. If you ask Allah for protection from shaitan, Allah will protect you. But you can't let go of tawbah. And you can't doubt the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can't doubt him. Don't let go of that tawbah. وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي. This is the last one. And with this one, it's the last reason that the munafiqeen, when the wall goes up and they'll be in hellfire, is that they were deceived and deluded by al-amani. What is al-amani? Amani is wishful thinking. I want to make $1 billion. It's wishful thinking, brother. Right? What do you want? People, they just throwing things off the top of their head. I'd like to go to Jannah to Firdaus. Here's another one. When you tell people like, who would like to memorize the Quran? For the majority of people, it's just wishful thinking. Correct? Now that's a deep one. You're like, what are you saying? I'm challenging you. I'd ask you right now, who wants to memorize the Quran? Everybody raise their hand up, and I'll say, that's just wishful thinking. Why do I say that it's wishful thinking? Because if you want to memorize the Quran, you have to plant certain seeds if you're sincere in your wishful, in your desire, correct? If you want to memorize Quran, you have to stay tonight for another 2 hours as we begin our first Quran lesson. You have to come after Fajr for 1 hour, and then during the day for another 3 hours, then come at Maghrib time, Maghrib to Isha, every day for the next year or 2 years. And you don't have Sundays off either. 7 days a week. Now do you understand why I say it's wishful thinking? Because you haven't planted the seeds. Right? As one of the scholars has said that, oh, I wish I could just go to an Islamic library and just lie down. And by the spirit of osmosis, right, all this this bukhur comes out from the books and just goes into my head. And I wake up as the greatest scholar that Islam has ever known. I wish. That's not how knowledge is learnt. That's not how knowledge is learned, correct? You actually have to open a book and read it. And you have to go cover to cover. And you have to study. And you have to learn. There are seeds that are planted. And so, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that the believers are saying to them as the wall goes up, that they did fitna to themselves. They didn't do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, they delayed their tawbah. The third thing was they doubted the messenger. And the fourth thing was that they lived with wishful thinking. They didn't live in truth. They just lived with wishful thinking. Until the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, and they died and they went to hellfire like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and protect me. And with that, we are done inshaAllah ta'ala for this part one. Next week inshaAllah ta'ala, on Tuesday, we're going to be doing the part two, which is actually, it's a continuation. The sections that I didn't mention, next week inshaAllah ta'ala specifically, we're going to be speaking about the conversations that the people of paradise have with themselves, the internal dialogue, and the internal dialogue of the people of hellfire, and then we're going to be speaking about the conversation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with the people of Jannah, and the statements that are said to the people of hellfire. Jazakumullah khairan for everybody who helped to prepare this lecture, for all of you who are attending. And again, inshaAllah ta'ala, if you want to get on my mailing list, the mailing list is, this is the website. If you want to write it down again, it's successinislam.com. Wa jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.